This is light to guide our feet. The 24/7 Authentic Christian Ministry of Trinity Baptist Church. I greet thee in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is my prayer that all is well with you and that you know the Lord as your Savior. Hear now the word of the Lord as recorded in Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12 in the New Testament. The reading begins at verse 34. Matthew chapter 12, beginning reading at verse 34. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Matthew chapter 12, verses 34 through 37. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Your heart and your mouth. Your heart and your mouth. Our topic for this worship service. Your heart and your mouth. Jesus said in strong terms, O generation of vipers. That phrase is strong and startling. Jesus was talking to human beings. Those were human beings that lived during the time that he was on planet Earth. He could see not only their outward appearance, but he could see their very hearts. And oh, what he must have seen. What he must have seen to make the statement, O generation of vipers. What he must have seen in the hearts of men and women 2,000 years ago. The gentle Jesus, the loving Jesus, the Jesus who loved us so much that he gave his life for us, the Jesus who healed the sick, the Jesus who cleansed the lepers, the Jesus who opened the eyes of the blind, the Jesus who made the lame to walk, the Jesus who cast out demons from those who were possessed thereby, the Jesus who cared so much for human beings that he raised a woman's son from the dead while they were in the funeral procession. Yet he saw such evil. He saw such startling mess in the hearts of men and women that he spoke words that you would not expect God to speak, for he also is and was the Jesus who is God the Son, fully God, being fully God and fully man, a mystery unto us, but being 100% God and 100% man and walking the earth, he said, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things?" He saw in the hearts of men and women that which reminded him of vipers. And not only reminded him of vipers, he didn't say, "Generation like vipers. Oh, generation of vipers." He called them evil, asked the question, "How can ye, being evil, speak good things?" Just those few words. How can you, being evil, speak good things? What would he call us were he walking the earth in flesh today? What would Jesus call us as he looked upon our hearts? Yes, he would see hearts that were saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Yet he would see hearts filled with despicable things. The real question is, have we made any progress during the last 2,000 years? Has mankind made any progress spiritually during the last 2,000 years? Well, the theologian would say, "Well, certainly, Reverend, because Jesus died, and now we are saved. Jesus is the progress, and Jesus was the progress." And I would say, the only progress, the only progress, the only progress. Jesus is the only progress. Others would say, "Well, Reverend, you are forgetting to take into account that during the time of Jesus, we did not have the electric light as we have today. We did not have the modern technological advances as we have today. We did not have the atomic bomb, the nuclear weapons. We did not have nuclear energy for lighting our homes and businesses and our cities. We did not have the aircraft that fly all over the world and into space. How can you say we have not made any advances as human beings other than that which Jesus brought about?" And I hear you as you talk about these material things. But in terms of the heart of man, the question is, if Jesus looked if he walked, and by the way, he is looking. By the way, heaven is watching. Heaven is watching. Heaven is watching you. Heaven is watching me. In the book of Daniel, a king dreamed a dream. And in that dream, there were watchers. Watchers. And because of what the watchers in heaven saw, the judgment of God came to earth. Heaven knows exactly what is going on. After all, heaven owns the earth. This is God's earth. God owns the earth, and he owns all that is therein. Well, where did you get that from, Paige? Well, if you will travel to me as an aside to the book of Psalms. In the book of Psalms, the book of Psalm, or the book of Psalms, if you would turn to Psalm 24. In Psalm 24, we read beginning at verse 1, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the kingdom and the King of glory shall come in. Reading once again, Psalm 24, verse 9. Psalm 24, verse 9. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory, Selah. We came to this this book, Psalm 24, just to prove that God owns the earth. And thus, we read in Psalm 24, verses 1 and 2, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. And so God knows what's going on in his earth. God knows perfectly what's going on in his earth. Some of you own companies, and you know what's going on in your companies, and particularly now that you have technology, you know things that are going on in your companies that your employees have no idea that you know. Those of you that have houses, in your homes. Many of you know what is going on in your homes, even though some people who are in your homes don't know that you know certain things. You can be assured that God knows what's going on in his earth. And he knows what's going on in your heart. He sees not just the physical. He sees not just the material, but he sees into everything. He sees into everything. Oh, generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Your heart is the problem. If you are still among those who are the vipers that Jesus referred to in his time, in the flesh on earth, if you are still a part of that, and if he is seeing in your heart what he saw in their hearts, your heart is the problem. And for him to use such strong terms, I wish I could say that my generation was not a generation of vipers. But I'm afraid I cannot say that yet. I wish I could say what the psalmist said in Psalm 24:6. In Psalm 24:6, the psalmist said, "This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Shelah." I wish I could say about my generation what the prophet or what the psalmist said in Psalm 24:6. "This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob." I'm afraid I'll have to say about my generation that this is the generation of them that flee from him. So many are fleeing from him. So many are fleeing for him, from him. So many are fleeing from him and becoming more and more the generation of vipers. More and more the generation of vipers. And thus, eliciting my strong preaching, I'm having to preach so strong because, as Jesus said, "O generation of vipers," I can't even see the hearts of men and women, though the Holy Spirit, I'm sure, gives me some discernment that I do not even realize I have. But Jesus said, "O generation of vipers," and if I were asked, "Is your generation a generation of vipers?" I would have to say that aside from those who are in Jesus, I must proclaim the same. Were I asked, "Is your generation the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob?" I would have to say that no, I cannot say, as the psalmist said in Psalm 24, that this is a generation of them that seek him. But I would have to reiterate that this is a generation of them that seem to me to be fleeing from him. Now, I know he has millions that I don't know about who are saved, that he has not left himself without witness. But on this spheroid of supposedly approximately 7 billion people, there are, in my opinion, so very many that are fleeing him and must be at least identified as vipers. Vipers. That's what Jesus saw in the hearts of those that were alive during the time He was in earth as Emmanuel, God with us, God in the flesh. Matthew chapter 12, verse 24, Jesus says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Many of you do not realize that your words have power and they have weight, and that you will be judged by your words. As it said here in Matthew chapter 12, verse 37, Jesus said, by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. You must take heed to yourself. I am sure there are those of my peers that grew up with me in my hometown and went to school with me are kind of astounded that I'm not the flippant, talkative, older guy that I was in my teens and early 20s, because I enjoyed having a good time. I enjoyed trying to be the life of the party. I enjoyed talking, and making people laugh. But the Holy Ghost has brought me to understand that by my words I shall be justified, and by my words I shall be condemned. My words have weight. My words mean something. Every word I speak will be judged. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, but I say unto you, this is Jesus saying that he says, this is Jesus the Son of God saying in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. People in my generation, people who are on earth at this particular time, need to learn this scripture because many do not know it. Let me read it for you once again. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. I hear many people speaking many things. Oftentimes, I refuse to get into conversations or to converse very deeply with people because of the idleness of the words that come from ungodly hearts. You see, your mouth will speak what's in your heart. Jesus said that in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. Listen to what Jesus said. Oh, generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. It comes out of you because it is in you. If cursing comes out of you, cursing is in you. If evil comes out of you, evil is in you. If cursing comes out of your mouth, cursing is in your heart. If evil comes out of your mouth, evil is in your heart. That's how we know. And God is going to judge that which comes out of your mouth because it reveals what is in your heart. Yes, your words betray your heart. Yes, your words reveal your heart. Yes, even though you may try to mask your real heart, if we listen to you long enough, we will know what's in your heart. If we listen long enough, that's why when you're getting ready to get married, you ought to take your time and not rush into it. Because if you wait and listen long enough, you will more than likely find out what is in your boyfriend's heart. If you wait and listen long enough, you will more than likely find out what is in your girlfriend's heart. And you will know then what it is that's in that person. And you will get some idea in many cases of who it is that you are about to marry. Just give it time. Just give it time. For Jesus said, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I listen to people very carefully. I listen to people very carefully. People will say today, well, you shouldn't judge people. But I listen to people very carefully. And I remind you of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. Here's what Jesus said, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. So words are basis for heavenly judgment. Your words are basis for your being judged at the day of judgment. And so I think I can say that in reading the Bible, I get the sense that I can make some kind of decision about you based on your words. You can call it judgment or whatever, but based on what comes out of your mouth, I can make some determination of what is in your heart, though some people hide it very carefully. Some people are very careful to hide it. They cannot hide it from God, but they can hide things often from man. But when the mouth speaks evil, one may assume that the heart is evil. When the mouth speaks that which is ungodly, one may assume that the heart is ungodly. When the mouth speaks that which is against Almighty God, one may assume that the heart is against Almighty God. It is your heart and your mouth. Your heart contains the good or the evil. Your heart contains the good. Your heart contains the evil. And so as your heart is, so your mouth speaketh. So as your heart is, so your mouth speaketh. For Jesus said that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. And Jesus said, for out of the abundance of the heart, the man speaketh, from the essence of the man. And that is another reason why you need Jesus. You need Jesus not just to have passage into heaven when life on earth is over, but you need Jesus for living life on earth. You need Jesus to turn your heart from evil to good. You need Jesus to take the viper out of your heart. You need Jesus. You cannot get the viper out of your heart without Jesus Christ. That's just how serious it is. You are dangerous to yourself and dangerous to others if you have the viper in your heart. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." If you are fleeing God, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the viper is in your heart. Wait a minute, Reverend. I have my own God. Jesus said, "O generation of vipers." They were a people who had the law of Moses. They were a people who ruled in the synagogues. They were the people who were Pharisees and Sadducees. They were people who were scribes. And Jesus said, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." They were church people, so to speak. Not church in the Jesus Christ terminology, because Jesus now, the church is in him. But he was there looking on them. They were the church of then. They were the synagogue people. But in their hearts, they were vipers. And they spoke that which was evil. And Jesus pinpointed them exactly. For Jesus spoke only truth. He never lied. God cannot lie. God cannot lie. And Jesus, God the Son, said, "O generation of vipers, O generation of vipers." Those of you who do not know Jesus Christ, you must see yourself in this scripture. Oh, you are fleeing God. You are fleeing Christ. You are saying you don't believe in God. You are an atheist. You are an atheist. You are an atheist. You are not a person who has any belief in any God. You don't even believe that a God exists. You are an agnostic. You are saying you don't know whether there's a God or not, but anyway, you don't believe in him, and in most cases, you have no intention of ever seeking him. You too are fleeing God. Atheists in full flight away from God. Agnostic, walking fast away from God, saying, "I don't know, I don't know." Refusing to embrace faith. Refusing to embrace God. Atheists, agnostics. Then there are those who claim that they are people of God, but who were never saved, and who are doing all the things that others do who don't know the Lord. In other words, vipers in the church. Vipers in the church. Vipers in the church. Just like the Pharisees and Sadducees. Vipers in the church. Vipers in the church. Jesus said, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." And yet, from that generation of vipers, Jesus extracted men and said, "Come after me, and I will make ye fishes of men." He turned the world upside down and began, established the greatest institution the world has ever known, following the creation of the earth and the establishment of marriage and those that God established. He established the Christian church out of and doing. And while he was being opposed by a generation of vipers, while being opposed by a generation of vipers, while being criticized by a generation of vipers, while sometimes even having to flee from a generation of vipers, while being lied upon by a generation of vipers, while being crucified by a generation of vipers, he died. He gave his life for that generation of vipers. But not only for that generation of vipers, for every generation, not only during his time and forward, but the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that his death looked backwards to those who had faith even before he died in the flesh on planet Earth. So from a generation of vipers, we can still extract that which will turn unto God. From a society in full flight, as it were, away from God, from a generation in full flight away from God, we can extract that which will come to God. For we have no excuse to give up. We have no excuse to say, well, Lord, it's no use, because they are fleeing thee. They are a generation of vipers. And God can say, did you not hear of Peter, John, James? Did you not hear of Philip? Did you not hear of the Apostle Paul? Did you not hear of the apostles and those that heard of me through their word? Did you not hear of the day of Pentecost and the thousands that came to me from that generation of vipers? We have no excuse for not preaching. We have no excuse for not reaching. But we need to keep on inviting people to come to Jesus. We need to keep on rescuing the perishing, rescuing the perishing. And I bid you now come to Jesus. Come to Jesus just now. Come to Jesus just now. Come to Jesus just now. Get the viper out of your heart. Get the viper out of your heart. Get the viper out of your heart. Come to Jesus and do it now. Do it and do it now. Come to Jesus while you still have time. Come to Jesus. Make up your mind. Come to Jesus while you still have time.